Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have the privilege on a daily basis to learn b'chavrusa with a graduate of this beautiful cheder. I didn't really know until today what it was really all about. I spent a number of hours this morning in the cheder, and I can tell you people, as parents and supporters, that this is truly a unique institution. The love, the caring, the respect, the intensity of learning, the geschmack, the positive warm atmosphere, and the concern for each and every individual student is truly something that should be a model for every Moisid HaTorah in the world. And therefore, it's truly a privilege to be here this evening to share some thoughts with you. But the truth of the matter is, if you have such a beautiful moisid and such wonderful children, and that bespeaks about wonderful homes and parents, what can I offer you here this evening? And despite the word that was mentioned in the introduction, I'm not an entertainer. What can I give you? Well, I could say that I could share with you as a parent the wisdom that I gained from all of my own mistakes. And that would take too long this evening. Because we all make mistakes in our role as parents. We all make mistakes in our roles as mechanchim. And the trick in life really is, if we care about the results, if we love our children, and we're concerned about their future, as we most definitely are, we have to be willing at every juncture in life to reevaluate, to reconsider, to refocus our parenting skills, our interactions with our children, the hashpah that we give them, the role models that we set for them, to fine-tune them to their specific needs, to the issues of the day, and to the difficulties in chinuch that increase exponentially in every generation, if not in every few years, if not every single year. And therefore I'd like to share with you just some thoughts how we might, in introspection, focus a little bit differently, a little bit more intensely on the chinuch of our children. We have a very great challenge in this generation. And the challenge is not only from the world outside, and the challenge is not only from the infiltration of that world into our Dalet Amos, but the challenge is our success at Chinuch. Because the danger of success, the danger of seeing the peiros of our efforts growing and steiging and following B'derech HaTorah, can lead to a certain sense of security, can lead to a certain sense of we've made it, we've accomplished it, the future is secure. And we all know, and I know from years of personal experience with so many of our youth, and I dare say adults in the same situation, that we are not secure at all. We must constantly reevaluate, we must never take for granted, and we must realize that our success, the numbers in our moistus, the level of learning in our moistus, the amount of learning in our moistus, the apparent frumkeit that we see in our moistus, shouldn't befool us to think that our future is absolutely secure. And therefore, it behooves us to do everything we can to strengthen our moistus, to strengthen our children, to strengthen our family, and to strengthen the hashpah that we have on our children. You know, one of the things that happened when we take the success of chinuch for granted is that we become far too critical of our children. We become far too intolerant of any deviation from the norm or the expected or the society in which we live. Because everybody's doing it. Because this is the way. Because we're all part of it and we're all looking over everyone's shoulders and into everyone's pot to see what's doing. And therefore we become so intolerant of deviation. We become so intolerant of any expression of individuality. And let me share with you two brief thoughts about these two issues. Rashi tells us at the beginning of Parshas Dvorim that Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed apologized to his son Reuven and told him, "Why wasn't I mechiach you earlier on in life for the mistake that you made? And only on my deathbed did I allow myself to mention to you pachas kamayim." And Rashi says that Yaakov says, "I was afraid, my dear Reuven, my tzaddik Reuven, my Baal Tshuva who already did tshuva on his chet Reuven. I was afraid that if I am moichiach you in my lifetime, you would leave me lidobek be'esov ochi, to go connect with my brother Esav." Yaakov was afraid that Reuven the tzaddik, who had already done tshuva many times over for what his mistake was, would leave him with teichocha. And Yaakov knew how to give teichocha. Moshe Rabbeinu, in that parasha where Rashi speaks, gives teichocha beremez, and we learn from there how teichocha has to be done. And he even learned from Yaakov Avinu. Could have said it in the most gentle way, in the most constructive way, in the most loving way. But he was afraid that the pain of criticism could lead his son Reuven, the tzaddik, to join forces with his uncle Esav. We underestimate the power, the devastating power of criticism. Yes, we know, we learned the lesson, never criticize the individual, only the act. Alevai, we should have learned that lesson. But even with that lesson, we have to be so careful. Our children are so sensitive. Every word that we say to them can be so devastating. They have so much respect for their parents, despite the way they may act and the way they seem not to show it. And what that mother or what that father says penetrates to the core of their being. And we have to be so careful. And because we're so successful, and because we've achieved so much, and because everybody seems to be going in the same direction, we become super sensitive, we become super nervous, and we become super critical. And we can hurt and devastate and send our children, not in the direction of Esav, but in directions that we could regret forevermore. Something that we have to be so careful about. And we have to realize that that isn't the way if we wish to keep them successfully in the Derech HaYosha. And the same thing is true with tolerating their individuality and their differences. Not everyone is the same. Kishem she'em partzeifeihem doymoy zoy lezoy, kachein deoiseihem doymoy zoy lezoy. No two personalities, no two children growing up in the same family. Even identical children. I have identical twins. They're not the same at all. It's a misnomer. Genetically, maybe they're identical. Personality and psychologically, they're not. And everyone is an individual. And we must be willing to tolerate their individuality. And you'll tell me, how can we? There's a norm. There's a societal norm. There's an expectation in our community. And there is, and there should be. Rightly so. But our children are individuals, and we must make accommodations for their individuality. When Moshe Rabbeinu was informed that his time to pass from this world has arrived, and he beseeches the Bnei Olam for a successor. He had four items on his short list of requests. And the first item on the short list of requests, Vayomer Moshe El Hashem, the Pasuk says. Vayomer Moshe. Hashem Elokei Haruchos Lechol Basar. Yifkei Hashem Elokei Haruchos Lechol Basar. Ish Al Ha'edah. Hashem, the Elokei Haruchos, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a leader for this congregation. And Rashi is bothered by this Loshen Elokei Haruchos Lechol Basar. What is he saying? Hashem, appoint a leader to take over. And Rashi says the tefillah was Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Golui v'yodu alefonecho, that every individual is different. Appoint a leader, in Rashi's Loshen, sheyuchal lizbol kol echod ve'echod lefi datoi, who can tolerate each one according to his or her own individuality. And that wasn't for a family of 10 children, nor for a class of 35, nor for a meisid of 100 or 1,000. But for a Klal Yisrael of a few million nefashos, the first requirement on the short list was the ability to be sevel. It's a sevel. It's not easy. It's very difficult to deal with each one as an individual. But each one is an individual. And unless we can reckon and take into account that individuality, rachmona litzlan, we endanger the future of our children. There are boundaries to that individuality. There are definitely expectations that we have every right as parents to expect. But we have to realize that there has to be room for their individuality. And even the expectations, and even the rules, and even the demands, which is a harsh word, rules is even a harsh word, expectations is better. Those expectations have to be explained. We have to be able to explain to them the benefits of what we expect of them. Life today is very difficult for young people growing up. Cheder children are beautiful. High school children are much more exposed to the dangers, no matter how sheltered we attempt and sometimes even successfully try to keep them. And we must be aware and we must be careful to make sure that we protect them. And one of those protective means, when we ask our children to be different from everyone else out there, and even though we have a strong community and they have a strong community of friends, there's a whole world out there that's different, and they know about it no matter how much we shelter them, and today we really can't shelter anybody. So we have to show them, we have to explain to them, they have to understand why we want them to do what we want them to do. Something that we're not really used to. You know, there was a generation at the beginning of the last century that was turned off to Yiddishkeit. And if one wished to summarize from a sociological point of view what happened, some suggest, many suggest, that there was one phrase, the ultimate truth, that turned more people off to Yiddishkeit than anything else. When they asked, why can't I do this, and why must I do that, and why can't I go with my friends, and why this, and why that, and why the other thing? And the answer was, we could all say it together here, "Es steht geschrieben in the Torah." That's the reason. That's the reason. It is the reason. It's the ultimate reason. It's the only reason. And it doesn't work. It didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. And if you think that I'm out of line for such a statement, then I refer you to a Ralbag in the Te'elius. I'll tell you where to find it in a moment. The Ralbag says that if we wish to convince a loved one, that's our children, that's our Talmidim, if we wish to convince a loved one to engage in an activity that's bizarre and painful, bitzar umuzar, that's his language, that's painful and strange, different from everyone else, first, before anything, tell him the benefits. Explain to him what he's going to get from it. And only then tell him the nature of the difficulty that you wish to impose upon him. And he says that the benefit, the cheshek for those benefits, will mitigate the tsar and the strangeness of this action. Where do we learn this from? The Ralbag says, from Avram Avinu by the Bris Milah. Avram Avinu, Hashem did not tell him there was an operation involved in this bris. He didn't tell him he has to take a knife. He said, if you join in with me in a bris, in this covenant, you'll have Deiris and you'll have Eretz Yisroel and you'll have so many benefits. And only then did he tell him, you have to perform an operation. You have to sue something that's painful and very bizarre at that time. And even by an Avram Avinu that could have affected the cheshek for the benefit would mitigate the pain and the suffering even for someone as devoted, as dovuk b'Hashem, ready to perform an akedas Yitzchok. But that has an effect. Our children must hear that. Our children must know when we make rules, we have to explain them. When we want them to follow Torah and mitzvahs, we have to give them explanations. Rav Motel Gifter Zecheinu Livracha used to say that the reason we call Tamei HaMitzvahs, he says, an apple with no taste would nourish just as well. But the taste, the Gishmak, says the Tamei HaMitzvahs makes it more palatable. We know what it's doing for us. It's benefiting us. The Sefer HaChinuch is afraid not to write one Tam V'Toyeles on one mitzvah, on Kol Sur V'Chol Dvash Lo Yisakiru Isha L'Hashem. He's afraid he doesn't know, but he's afraid if I don't, this Torah will appear to my son. He's writing it for his bar mitzvah book as a sefer chosum, and I'm afraid. Pen yivatu b'hem b'toich kach min arusom v'yanichom le'olam v'yelchu lahevel. They're going to rebel. They're going to kick all the mitzvahs. Min arusom v'yanichom le'olam. It's much worse than they're doing today. Baruch Hashem, the kids are coming back. Forsake them forever. 500 years ago, in the world of a house, growing up in the house of a rishon. No Beis HaMikdash, so we shouldn't have that frustration every day. I come to the Beis Midrash, I can't bring the Sur Dvash. And his father explained to him every one of the Taryag mitzvahs with Tam, Tuv, Tam, B'Toyeles. One mitzvah he may not be able to explain to him. He was afraid that would send the kid off the derech because it's a Sefer Chosum. I don't know what this is all about. An excuse, albeit, but an excuse that such a person could have used. And our children can use those excuses. They need explanations. Our children need many more things as well. One of the things I'd like to mention, which is very, very significant in all of our lives, and that is a recognition of Hashgocha Protis. We take Hashgocha Protis for granted. Sometimes we do lip service to Hashgocha Protis. Sometimes we miss it, even when it happens right in front of our eyes. One of my children teaches in Los Angeles, and there was a speaker that came to the school. The speaker told about during the Yom Kippur War, there were about 15 soldiers on the Suez Canal, Israeli soldiers, protecting the canal. Terrible mistake. And all of a sudden, they noticed hundreds of Egyptian soldiers wading across the canal, fully armed. It was all over. They were ready to surrender. They knew the end had come. All of a sudden, they see the Egyptians hold up their hands. They're surrendering. They couldn't figure out what happened. And in conversation, one of the soldiers asked one of these Egyptians, what happened? He says, what happened? Didn't you see? Hundreds and hundreds of soldiers were coming down from the mountains behind you, and they were ready to attack us, and we knew that we didn't stand a chance. So we had to surrender. No such thing. There was nobody there. So my daughter goes up to the speaker after the speech and asks him, she says, is that what, he was a Baal Tshuva, is that what inspired you to become a Baal Tshuva? He says, absolutely not. It went right by me. It was irrelevant. Nothing, it happened. No one paid attention. Took it for granted. Okay, fine. She pursued the question. She said, what did inspire you to become a Baal Tshuva? He says, years later, I happened to be listening to a speech, and someone told that story. That was me. And that's how I became a Baal Tshuva. It's all about focus. It's all about focusing our children. It's all about paying attention. We can't take anything for granted. Every time there's a little miracle, every time there's Hashgocha Protis, we must point it out. Don't overly and overwhelm them with it. That never works. But point it out gently. Focus our children. focus them, let them see, let them appreciate, let them understand. We should do the same. And it can have such an impact. And when the Shem Hashem is Shomur Befinu, like it is today, there's a great danger. We're Yotze with the Baruch Hashem and the Be'ezras Hashem and the Siyata Nishmaya. And we forget. A yeshiva bocha once told me, in the name of a group of, who knows the magnitude, that it's yitochen for a yeshiva bocha to wake up in the morning, and from moedani and davening and learning and brochos and everything till I'm up at night, and not once seriously think about the Rabbeinu Shalala. Very sad, very true. We must focus on the Rebbeinu Shalom. We must get them to focus on the Hashgacha Pratis. I'd like to share with you something else. A phrase that I have found is strange, not very often referred to amongst our children, amongst our B'nai Torah. And that phrase is relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vos meintos, vi esmentos, vos idos, relationship with Hashem. What's going on over here? I want to tell you a story. Once, many years ago, a young man, yeshiva bocha, was sent to me by one of my children. You have to help this guy. He's a ben Torah. He's learning in yeshiva, he's learning well. Forgive me, he has a serious relationship with a shiksa. Serious relationship. Ben Torah. Learning. What can you do for him? I didn't know. Didn't have experience with such a thing at the time. And I said, you know, I want you to come and learn with me once a week Shir HaShirim with Rashi. Just to focus on this hidden and forgotten relationship that exists between the Beir Yoylam and the Klal Yisrael. And the Klal Yisrael and the Beir Yoylam. Hashem works behester upon him today. And sometimes we forget the intensity of his love. We feel today oftentimes that we reject him, sometimes at the most significant moments. And therefore we think that we don't have that passionate love within ourselves. When we study Shir HaShirim, we see that the Klal Yisrael in the worst matzovim, when they say, Poshatti es kutonti, rochatzti es raglai, and deidi sholach yodom in achor, umeyai homu alof. And all of a sudden they transform from this active denial and rebelliousness to the passionate love, Rashi says, Beleib sholim uve nefesh chafetza, because it's there. When the Rebbeinu Shalom's love for us is there as well. He's mashkiach min achaloinois. He's meitzitz min acharakim. He assures the survival of Klal Yisrael. If anyone has any doubt about the Rebbeinu Shalom's love for Klal Yisrael, just think about the last 2,000 years of Golus. Reb Yankov Emden swears by his life that the miracles that have allowed for Klal Yisrael to survive and the Torah to survive, that in Toronto there should be learning Altaras HaKodesh HaCheder, and all over the world by Klal Yisrael the same things are happening more and more and more. He says these, he swears by his life, are greater miracles than Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, which express the greatest love of HaKodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. And this young man, after 8 sessions, comes in with a big envelope full of letters, I never opened it, and pictures and phone numbers. It's all over. I'm finished. And today, he's not only a chosh of a ben Torah, married to a chosh of a mishpocha, he's a machanech, a marbitz Torah, the tiferes. And what happened? What happened was, he realized that I have this relationship with the Beir Yoylam, that there's a passionate love going on between us. How can I sacrifice that for anything? How can I give it up or compromise it? And that was able to dispel and displace this terrible temptation that had taken grip on the life of an otherwise ben Torah. There's so much more that we could discuss about the messages that we have to give our children. But I would like to leave you with just one more thought. And it can be summarized in three words. Listen, listen, listen. I listen to young people complain. And one of the highest complaints on their list is nobody is listening to them. They want to be heard. They need to be heard. The hearing them validates them, makes them feel good about themselves, makes them feel important, makes them feel we love them, makes them feel we care about them, makes them feel we're involved with them and can have a lasting influence on their lives. And when we don't, we put in danger the entire relationship. I'll never forget the lesson that I learned the hard way. Come home one evening and looking at something very important, and all of a sudden one kid tugging at my arm and saying, oh, a terrible thing happened in school today. Not paying attention, I say, oh, I feel so happy for you, I feel so good for you, that's wonderful. Till the other kid tells me, hey, you're not paying attention, this kid said a terrible thing happened. A few moments later, on the other arm, I get another tug. A wonderful thing happened in school today. Well, I wasn't going to make the mistake twice. I said, oh, I feel so terrible for you. I feel so bad. Oh, you never... Pay attention, Rachmona Litzlan! Our children are our most precious possessions. And when we don't pay attention to them, we don't know what's going on with them. They don't feel free to share with us what's going on in their lives. And we send them the message that they're not valid and we don't really care. We no longer live in a generation, Meirai V'Rabbeisai, where our children will testify, as maybe in our parents' and grandparents' generation, that my parents live for their children. When's the last time you heard that phrase? I heard it 60, 70 years ago. The parents live for their children. They have to feel that way. They have to feel that we are the singular most important thing that exists in their world. That makes them feel good. That makes them feel loved. That makes them feel good about themselves. That makes them want to follow the direction that we set in life. I said that was the end. Forgive me with one more thought. We make every day a brocha, birchas hatoira. We say, v'harev no Hashem elokeinu es divrei sarosho befinu uvefiyamcha beis Yisrael. We don't ask that it should be pleasant for our children. Very interesting. Then we say, v'niyah anachnu v'tzetzo, einu v'tzetzo, yamcha beis Yisrael, kulonu yoydei shemecho v'leim dei sarosecho. Sounds like if it'll be v'harif no b'finu v'fi amcha beis Yisrael, then it'll be anachnu v'tzetzo, einu v'tzetzo, amcha beis Yisrael. They have to see the geschmack that we have in Torah. They have to see the passion that we have for Liman HaTorah and the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. If it's pleasant by us, if our lives exudes a simchas hachayim of a chayim shel Torah, then automatically, without even a special tefillah, it seems, for them. Because they see the gishmak. They see how happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants gishmak. Nobody wants to be miserable. Everybody wants to see. There's a piece that I have. I left it in the cheder and it's available to anyone. A quote, a whole arichas, a quote from Rav Shach, where he says, every generation has its nisoyim. Every generation has its challenge. He says, the challenge of our generation is no longer philosophy, is no longer ideology. Nobody's thinking philosophy, ideology. Nobody could care less. The street beckons with pleasure calls. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. In his words, it says, "Lasot chayim." Let's have life. Let's have fun. Let's make life enjoyable. And he says that we must present and create and represent the life of Torah and mitzvahs that's going to bring instant pleasure in this world. He says, if we teach them to be meisa nefesh with difficulty in this world in order to have it good in olam haba, we chance losing them altogether. The Torah has to be gishmak. The learning has to be gishmak. The Shmiras HaMitzvahs has to be exciting. It has to exude Simchas HaChayim. Then, together with some of these other suggestions, and together with our tefillas for our children, we can be zeiche that by providing such wonderful education that you people are providing for your children in the cheder, and by giving them the home life which is so supportive of the Derech HaTorah, with the realization of all of the needs and the special individual needs that our children have, we could be taka zeiche ve'ameich kulam tzadikim le'olam yirshu oretz. We should be zeiche to nachas and haslocha, and only to be able to see the good in our families, in our futures, in our children. Ad bias goel tzedek, call to.